So 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 9, the Bible says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." So that is the title right out of Michael's song, "The Father Sent the Son." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray You'd use Your word in our lives this evening. We thank You for this opportunity to come together on a Tuesday night and honor the incarnation of our wonderful Savior. And we pray that this time in Your word would also honor You and be pleasing to You, Lord, and that we would open our hearts and hear from You and be responsive to the Spirit of God. So we commit the service to You. Pray You'll meet with us and make it a precious time in Your word. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. So the Father sent the Son. That's what Christmas is all about, is that Jesus was sent to earth, as we saw Sunday morning, to die for us. And in this passage, we see some of the blessings of God sending His Son to the earth. But first of all, we see in verse 9 that this was God's display of love for mankind. Notice it says, "And this was manifested the love of God." Or displayed. Anytime somebody tries to question the love of God, just say, "But look at Calvary. Look at the incarnation. Look what God did for us. In this was manifested the love of God. It was shown to us through Jesus Christ coming to the earth, as it says there in verse 10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us." There is no greater love story than that our Creator loved us so much that He was willing to become a man and die in our place. It's the greatest love story in the universe. If you look back in chapter 3, verse 16, God uses a different word. It says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So the Bible says here, it's manifested. The Bible says we can perceive it when we look at the incarnation and why Christ came, which was to die for us. Most of us know Galatians 2:20, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Jesus Christ revealed His love for us by being willing to die for us. Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." God's love was manifested through the sending of Jesus Christ to the earth. And that is the first thing that we see in this passage, why God sent the Son, that He might show His love for us. Secondly, in verse 9, He says, "Because God sent His only begotten Son of the world that we might live through Him." The outcome of the gospel of Calvary is, of course, that we receive eternal life, praise the Lord. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have" what? "Everlasting life." There was a purpose in Christ coming to earth, to die for us, yes, but why did He die for us? That we might have life, so that He could conquer death, as we saw on Sunday morning. And so God sent the Son that we might live. Praise God. None of us would be here tonight if it wasn't for Jesus Christ coming to the earth and being willing to die in our place. The Bible says, "This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." 1 John 5:11. So we see, first of all, that God sent His Son to show His love, to manifest His love. Second of all, that we might live through Him, that we might receive eternal life through Jesus Christ and what He did. But thirdly, in verse 10, it says he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, that's a big fancy theological word. It just means satisfaction or appeasement. In the Old Testament, it had to do with the mercy seat. But what it basically says is that God's justice was satisfied when Jesus died on the cross. God's holiness demands God's justice, and God's justice demands punishment for sin. And the Bible teaches that punishment is very clearly hell. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The Bible is very clear on this. Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. But when Christ died on that cross, the Father was satisfied that the payment, the substitutionary payment of Jesus Christ, was sufficient for us. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you look at 1 John 2:2, the Bible says, he is the propitiation for our sins. But look at the rest of the verse. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Praise God. When Jesus died on Calvary, it was for everyone. Every person that's ever been born, their sins were paid for at Calvary. And they must simply receive that payment and that gift to be born again. There's nothing we can do to earn heaven. God's holiness demands justice, and that justice was satisfied at Calvary. And so God sent his son, first of all, to manifest his love for mankind. Second of all, that we might receive life. And third of all, that Jesus might be the propitiation, the satisfaction of God's justice. So Christ came to die. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, but by the blood he entered into the Holy of Holies, that he might obtain eternal redemption for us. And fourthly, this evening, in verse 11, this is beautiful. It says, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So God says that he manifested his love. He showed his love. And by the way, love is what we do, not what we feel. He showed his love at Calvary. God says, if God so loved us, which we can see it, this unconditional sacrificial love, we ought also to love one another. So God not only sent his son to manifest his love, but also to show us how to love. Isn't that something? And then he talks about that in these next couple verses. He says in verse 12, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. One of the things God will begin the day you get saved, the day you're born again Christian, is God's going to start perfecting his love in you. And we don't have the love within ourselves to love like we're supposed to, but God does. And God indwells us in the person of the Holy Ghost. And so what God's going to do is now perfect his love in you by teaching you to love like he loves. He may do that by bringing people into your life that are hard to love. So when that happens, don't be surprised. God's teaching you. God's perfecting his love in you. He says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. God's going to teach us how to love as he loved, which is unconditional love. Do we even know what that is? Sacrificial love. We ought to love one another the way God loved us, as it says here. So he also sent Jesus Christ to teach us how to love. But notice verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. Jesus Christ told his disciples, if you go to John 15, the Gospel of John 15, verse 26, he told his disciples that after he left the earth, he would send the third person of the Trinity to be with us, to dwell with us. Which is wonderful. God, when he saves us, he not only gives us eternal life, but then he says, and now I'm actually going to go with you the rest of your Christian life. I'm even going to come and live inside of you And I'm going to guide you into truth. And I'm going to convict you when you need convicted. And I'm going to show you things out of the Word of God. I'm going to teach you. God's going to do all that for us. When He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that's what He's saying. He lives in us. And so God also sent the Son. And notice John 15:26, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. And so God sent the Son, that He might die and rise again for us, so that then He might send the Spirit to indwell us. The Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And that is how we can live the Christian life, is because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That all comes from God, who lives inside of us. So God doesn't expect us to generate the love that He's talking about. He expects us to allow Him to flow that through us. We're just a vessel. I think that was 5, but I lost count. But number 6 is verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. This is the heart of this passage this evening. God sent Jesus for a lot of reasons, and we've looked at those together. To manifest His love, to give us eternal life, to be the satisfaction of God's justice, to teach us how to love, that we might receive the Holy Spirit after we're saved. But this was the primary reason. He sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So let's go to John 3 if we could. Most of us know verse 16, if not by heart, close to by heart. But I want us to look at 16, and then I want us to look at 17. Notice it says, John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be what? Saved. Saved is a Bible word. Because Jesus is the Savior. And by the way, that's what His name means. Jesus means Jehovah saves. So His name is God saves. And God sent Him to be the Savior of the world. As we see here, verse 17 of John, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, if you would go to Isaiah 43, I just want to show you something interesting tonight. A little bit of trivia. Notice Isaiah 43:11. This is important for Bible-believing Christians who believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Now, whenever you see Lord all caps, that's the King James translators helping you out to know that was the Hebrew word Jehovah or Yahweh. None of us can say it the right way, but so Jehovah says that there is no other Savior beside me. And yet Jesus was sent to be the Savior. It's even His name. So more proof of the deity of Christ through His title, His office, His name of Jehovah saves. And then if you go to Acts 4:12, God makes it very clear that we can only be saved through the Savior. Now, this is tough for the world to accept, sometimes tough for the world to understand. But the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. It says the Savior. Amen? Not one of the Saviors. There is only one way to be saved, and that's through the Savior. Notice Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. Well, that's pretty clear. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be what? Saved. Whereby we must be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thy heart God raised from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. The word's everywhere in the New Testament. You know why that is? Because we need to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the consequences of our sin, from the judgment that we owe for our sin, which is to go to hell. Because the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. That's why we need a Savior. That's what the Christmas story is all about, is God sent the Son to be the Savior. So Jesus came to earth essentially to die. He also preached, praise God, some beautiful, beautiful truths. He also was an amazing example, but he primarily came to die. God sent him to be the Savior. The very beginning of his ministry, when John the Baptist was baptizing and Jesus hadn't started his ministry yet, John saw Jesus coming there in John chapter 1 and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God. And everyone knew what he was talking about. Everyone knew about the Passover lamb from when the Israelites were rescued from Egypt and they had to slay a lamb in that 10th plague and put the blood on the doorposts. And then the death angel came and those who had the blood from the spotless lamb were protected from the death angel. Everybody knew what that was talking about. And so when he said that Jesus was the Lamb of God, they all of a sudden were able to put it together. His blood is now going to protect us from death. Praise the Lord. He sent him to be the Savior of the world. I can't emphasize this strongly enough. But everything else that we talked about tonight is absolutely not important in your life until you are saved. None of those things will be true for you. You have to be saved. You must be born again, Jesus said. And if you're not saved, what's the alternative? You're lost. That verse we looked at, 1 John 5, it says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." The Bible says that those who believe not on the Son of God are condemned already. So we must be saved. And the Father sent the Son for many beautiful truths, as we saw here in 1 John chapter 4, to manifest his love to the world. There is no greater display of love than our Creator becoming a man for us and dying for in our place, that we might receive life through what Christ did. The Bible says that he conquered death, that we might see that the justice satisfied, the punishment satisfied. He was the propitiation or the satisfaction for God's justice. And God was showing us how to love. Love by being willing to give of yourself for others. Jesus said, "No greater love than man laid down his life for his friends," in John 15:13. To give us his Spirit, but most importantly, as we see here in verse 14 tonight, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Has Jesus saved you? There would be no better time to get saved than Christmas Eve. And Christ came to save. And I hope that you can confidently say tonight, every person in this room, "I know I'm saved." Not, "I know I'm a Baptist or a Catholic," or "I know I've been baptized," or "I know I keep the Ten Commandments." No, "I know I'm saved. I know that the Savior has saved me." And if you don't know that, you can. Most of us do. Because somebody showed us the gospel and we asked Christ to save us, and he did. If not, please ask. Please come forward in a moment and say, "I'd like to be saved," and we'll show you how. The rest of us, we can certainly rejoice in what Jesus did. Amen? What Christmas is all about. All we have to do is look at Calvary. All we have to do is look at that manger. And we know our God loves us. Amen? Because he manifested his love by sending Jesus to die for us. Let's pray. Lord.